Well, we started this series called Under Pressure, and last week we talked about some of the myths that can surround the idea of mental health, and we talked about the fact that that what we really need is to find some peace, right? That's what we're searching for. And so today, what I want to do is I want to move us into an area called worry. Any of you familiar with that? So I've been, over the summer here, some of you are aware, some of you aren't, I've been building a garage in my backyard, and so I ran electrical to the garage, and this last week here, I had my electrical inspection. And, everything was leading up to that, for this electrical inspection, the walls were closed and painted, and everything was done. And so I was sitting there like, I was worried that this inspector was going to be like, I need you to rip open the walls for me, even though I told you you wouldn't need to. Or, oh, you did this wrong and you have to pull it all out or something like that, you know. And so I was like, I was stressed out waiting for this inspection. And so like, I was, honestly, I was ready to like fight, right? Like, oh, no, you have to do this. But you said I don't have to, you know, just like that's where my head was at, just building up into this thing. And so as so often happens when we're worried, what ended up happening, the electrical inspector, he came out and we talked about his beehives for 10 minutes. And then he was like, oh, you need to add this to the ends of these things and you need to run a copper wire on the outside of your wall over to your heater. I was like, that's it? Okay. Like, how often, right? How often do we sit there and we're worrying, all of our energy is going into, like, the world is going to end. And then it turns out to be no big deal. Have you ever had, like, a meeting that maybe your boss calls you and he's like, hey, tomorrow I need to speak with you in my office. And so, like, you spend all that night, all your dreams at night, they're all about, like, what you might say or what they might say and how you'll respond. And you're in the shower and you're, like, formulating responses and all this kind of stuff, getting ready because, man, they're going to demote me or they're going to yell at me or they're going to do something, right? And you walk into the office and they're like, hey, can you help me add my Gmail account to my my mail app? Right? Like, we worry so much. We destroy so much of our lives with worry. Did you know that research says that Canada is second place in the world for worrying behind the U.S.? We are the second most stressed out, worrying country in the world. Which makes absolutely no sense, because what do we need to be stressed out for? Like, there's people in the developing world, it's like, oh man, I didn't work today. I guess we're not having our rice. Right? There's people starving, and we're more stressed out than them. Right? In fact, Barna Research recently released some results of some studies they did. They say 60% of adults worry or stress daily. That's adults. Now, if you look at our teens, how much are they stressing out? This world is broken, right? I think that we can agree with that. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, like, when you look at this world, you're like, there's some stuff out of place. There's some stuff that I don't like. This doesn't seem right. And maybe we differ over what we think is right and what we think is wrong. But fundamentally, we know that things are not right in this world. But because of that, what I've found is we tend to default to worry over worship, to tears over trust, and to fear over faith. Need some alliteration in there. I'm a pastor after all right? And you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Stephen, I really don't need a message on worry. None of these examples that you gave me have anything to do with my life. If that's you, wow. Wow. But honestly, most of us are going to deal with some sort of worry, some sort of stress at some point in our life, if not right now, right? Now, I need to make clear, though, what we're not talking about today is anxiety, okay? We tend to conflate the two, don't we? We tend to say, I'm so anxious about this, or I'm so anxious about that, but what we really mean is that we're worried. See, let me kind of try to differentiate the two, at least how we're going to use them in this message series, all right? So worry tends to be something specific. I am worried about this. And where we feel worry is in our mind. We're thinking about it, right? We're obsessed with it. Am I going to make my flight tomorrow? Right? That's worry. Anxiety, on the other hand, tends to be more general, and it's more felt in the body. Oh, I caught my flight, but now I'm sitting in a death trap. Actually, I like flying, so that's for somebody here, I'm sure, right? And even that is sort of worry, but just that general anxiety over travel, right? Or you're just in a room full of people, and all of a sudden there's like this weight, and your stomach is all wrapped up in knots. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but I can't do this. That's anxiety, and that's going to be what Pastor Ewan talks about on Thanksgiving weekend, okay? But today we're talking about worry. That thing where we just start to really, in our minds, mull over something and all the possibilities and all the things that could go wrong. When maybe none of it's actually in our control. Heavenly Father, today I ask that as we talk about this aspect of mental health, that maybe a lot of us haven't even thought of as a mental health issue because so many of us deal with it. Lord, I ask today that you would really help us to be open to the things that you want to speak into our hearts today. And God, that if we have been unduly worried or stressed out about things, that you would help us to be able to hand those things over to you and to give you our trust. And that in return, you would give us your peace. So Lord, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to bring our attention to a book of the Bible called Matthew. And this here is the recorded account of Jesus' life that one of his followers named Matthew wrote. And so we have this firsthand account here, which we find in Matthew 6, 24 to 25. And Jesus is teaching here, and this is what he teaches. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" So Jesus kind of addresses the overall picture of the things we tend to worry about, and he says, "Don't worry." And all of us go, "Yeah, right." Right? Like, I'm worrying about these things. But what does Jesus say? He says, don't worry about money. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about your health or your future. That's everything. Like, that's all the stuff I worry about. Like, every day, that's the stuff that consumes my thoughts. That's the stuff that makes me exhausted, right? Aren't you the same? Don't you have these things and you're like, man, I wonder what I'm doing with the rest of my life. Man, where's our country going in the future, right? How many of you have been worried about that lately? Man, my retirement was looking so good. And now my stocks have tanked and I'm going to be working till I'm 100. We're worried. Let's take a look at these. The first one's money, right? Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Now, he's not saying that if you serve God, you can't have money, all right? He's saying, where is your focus? What is important to you? Where do you place your trust? See, some of us, if there's an issue, our default is, I need to find a way to get more money. And listen, sometimes that's a good response, right? I can't pay my bills. Okay, so we either need to reduce our spending or we need to raise our income. Like, that's kind of our two options, right? But how often do we jump into, oh my goodness, like, I don't know that I'm going to make ends meet this month. I had to take a day off for sick leave, and I'm not getting paid for that. Now I'm going to be short, and everything's going wrong, and what am I supposed to do? When does prayer come into it? Where's the trust come into it? Who do we focus on? Do you believe that if in the process of following Jesus' call on your life, your finances were kind of suffering, do you believe that Jesus will provide what you need? Amen. Now, what you need, right? Not necessarily what you want. Now, he's a good father, right? He loves to give good gifts. That's scriptural. Jesus says the Father loves to give his children good gifts, but those good gifts need to be what's best. And sometimes what's best is that we lean on him. What's interesting here is for a lot of us, we sit there and we're like, yeah, can't serve God and money. Let's go focus on my investments. Let's go, you know, double down on work or whatever it might be, because I want to climb the career ladder. I want to be successful in my life, right? I want to be comfortable in my life. But the audience that Jesus was speaking to here was hand to mouth. What I mean by that is a lot of these people, they were day laborers. And by day laborers, what I mean is they would kind of stand around in the square, a lot of them. And the rich people and the people with land and the people with work, they would come on by and they'd be like, you, you're working today. And at the end of the day, they'd get just enough money to go out and buy some bread and feed their family. Right? They got just enough to squeeze by. They were teetering on the end of destruction. And Jesus is like, don't worry about it. Doesn't that make it seem silly when we're like, man, I am so worried. What if I make the wrong decision about which one of these coats to buy? What if it only lasts one fashion season? You know? These people are like, a coat? Now, I want to bring across here, when I say that we shouldn't worry about money, what is not being talked about, because the Bible actually speaks about stewardship, I'm not saying that we just ignore our finances, okay? I'm not saying that you go, oh good, I don't need to budget anymore. I don't need to pay my bills. I don't need to go to work. Like, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be fine. Yeah, whatever. Throw money to the wind, all of that. No, honestly, that's not why stewardship, excuse me, that's stupid. All right? that's what that is, right? When we reach that place, we're running counter to what Scripture actually says. We are to be stewards of the resources that God gives us. What God is talking about here is we need to not be obsessed. We need to not be enslaved. We need to not put our fears over our faith. That Jesus can provide what we need. Right? Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Don't worry. Life is about more than these things. And so you see there, he talks about food, right? And again, like I said, a lot of these people he's speaking to, they're one mishap away from starvation, right? They're thinking to themselves, where's the food? And I understand there's people in North America today that day to day are wondering, where's the meal coming from? But can we be honest with ourselves and understand that the vast majority of North Americans and Western world people aren't thinking, where's the food coming from? They're thinking, what meal should I make or what restaurant should I eat at? In fact, for a lot of us and for many pastors, the temptation when we're reading this passage and speaking to North American audiences is not, hey, you got to trust God with where your food's coming from. It's addressing how can I eat less or how can I be healthier? How can I not be a glutton? Because we have so much excess. And yet we still worry about it, right? Yesterday was Joshua's 15th birthday, so if you see him, he's not feeling well. But if you see him, just welcome him to being in the land of, I don't know, 15-year-olds. I don't know that anything special happens at 15. But welcome him to being, I told him, you know, hey, you're only 10 years from being an adult now. But he didn't like that one. So yesterday, we were going to be just having a family party for him, and it was just going to be us, our immediate family, and he wanted some bruschetta. He wanted bruschetta made, and so we were all prepped for that, right? And then because of some family stuff that was going on with Embry's family, her mom came into town and was going to be in Lethbridge. So she's like, hey, it's Joshua's birthday. Why don't we take you guys out for dinner? And so we're like, okay, there goes the plans, right? Well, then we had a choice to make. See, Joshua got really stuck between two options. Did he want to go have Indian food at Ravaz, or did he want to go to the Japanese buffet? Let me tell you, there was some stress. Not only on his part, but my part, because I didn't want fish. All right? We're stressing out about food. It got to the point he actually, he told our Echo to flip a coin, and he assigned one to tails and one to heads, and Indian won, and I was like, yes, so good. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, yeah, we're going to Japanese. I was like, really? Like, stressing. Why? It all tastes good. Some of it far better than others, but it all tastes good. Right? We're stressing out for no reason. We stress out about the craziest things, right? And every time that we stress, that we worry, it exhausts us. It takes energy away from us being able to think about things that honor and glorify God. It takes us away from being able to tackle the real issues that need to be dealt with in the day. Jesus also talked about our health, right? About our health. And honestly, like, it's a big one today. But can you imagine living at a day and time where, I mean, their idea of a medicine was like, oh, you're getting migraines? That's the evil spirits in your head that need to get out. So we're going to grab this auger and we're going to drill some holes in your head to let the evil spirits out. Like, that was Greek and Roman modern medicine. That's some good stuff right there. I had a headache. Now I have like a whole skull ache, you know? And the great thing about that kind of medicine, to be quite honest, is your patients never could complain. Some of you got that. All right, anyways. So, listen, don't worry about your health. He's not saying don't take care of yourself, right? He's not saying just do whatever you want and lay back and let your body deteriorate and let yourself just everything fall apart because you're not doing what is good. But what he says is your body's temporary, right? One of the fundamental tenets of the Christian faith is this understanding that we are spiritual beings. Now, I don't want to create a false dichotomy here. Our body and our soul are deeply and intricately connected. However, there is the essence of us that goes beyond this physical world. And so we can obsess about taking care of our body. And we can be like Elon Musk and think to ourselves, man, I just got to create a robot brain so that one day we'll be able to like transfer my conscience and whatever, right? We can be some kind of person that wants to cheat death. But at the end of the day, should our focus be on beating or cheating death? Or should it just be on focusing on what lasts, on the eternity that awaits us, on the mission that Jesus has given us that impacts and affects the eternity, the existence of the people around us? To be selfless rather than self-centered. Don't worry about your health. I mean, be wise, but don't worry about it. Right? In fact, Jesus, just before this, had said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Because here's the thing about your health, right? You can do everything right and then your genetics get you. You can follow every single thing that modern medicine tells you is right, and then you'll come down with cancer, and it turns out that the thing they told you was right actually is the thing that was full of carcinogens that got you. I'm not wrong. We don't like to think about this stuff, but that's the thing, right? This natural world, we can focus on it, we can stress about it, and it can all turn out exactly how we hoped it didn't, right? So why do we stress about it? So you're like, Pastor Stephen, you just gave me a whole lot more stuff that I'm now stressed and worried about, right? But why? Jesus also said, don't worry about your clothing. Now here's another interesting one, right? Like Jesus is actually talking to people, not who are like, oh, let me go through my closet. I got to figure out what I'm going to wear. He was talking to people for whom clothing was actually a matter of exposure. Am I walking outside in my underwear today? You know, like the night is cold. Am I going to be warm enough today? That was what he was dealing with. What do most of us worry about when it comes to clothing? Does this match that? Is this in season? Is this in style? Oh my goodness, these shoes, they're not perfectly comfortable. Or, oh goodness gracious, like I need more money because I got to rebuy my entire wardrobe because it's out of season. Oh, white pants after before Labor Day? That's what I mean, right? We fill things. Do you button the middle suit coat button? Do you button the top one? All of them? None of them? You know, like, what do? Pleats? No pleats? Do you get little sock suspenders? Hey, don't discount them till you tried them. They're great. Nothing like it when you're wearing suits, okay? But anyways, I digress. Like, you know, we sit there and we worry about all this stuff. All of it. But for us, so often, it's a matter of others' opinions of us. You know what that's called? That's called pride. It is. We stress out because we can't deal with the thought that somebody wouldn't think about us the way we want them to. We look at fashion, not function. For some of us, if we swapped the time that we spent thinking about what we would wear that morning with time spent with God, I truly believe it would absolutely change our lives. For others of us, we're like, what? People think about what they're going to wear in the morning? Just saying. There's some. Hey, Doug. Jesus says, don't worry about the future. Right? The future has stuff in the future. So why are you dealing with it today? In fact, Jesus says it this way. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Yet how many of you actually worry about today versus tomorrow? Right? The majority of the stuff that sits there buzzing around in my brain isn't, oh man, right now in this moment, I really hope that I don't trip over my words so that people look at me and go, oh, Pastor Stephen doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't think I'm coming back to this church ever again. That's not at all what's on my mind. Now it is. No, but what's on my mind is like, oh man, I still have another inspection I have to go through. What's going to happen there? You know? Oh man, I haven't even scheduled it yet, and it's on my brain. You know? That's tomorrow's problem. Don't worry about what may happen in the future. Because that's the thing, right? It may happen. Jesus helps us move beyond worry towards trusting at him. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? God loves you. He cares about you. And the great thing is that no matter what happens in this physical world, if we get called from this place, that's great. Right? No more worry. Now in this, God loves the birds. He cares for the birds. But I will say, when a bird gets up in the morning, it doesn't sit in its nest and go, where's my food? Right? It doesn't wait for a worm to drop out of the sky, unless it's a baby bird. It gets up and it goes and it finds some food. Right? It doesn't just sit and starve and go, okay, God. There is a difference between concern and worry. Concern looks at a hurdle that needs to be overcome and it seeks to surmount it. Do I need to explain that, or is that clear enough? I say that seriously, actually. I'm running out of time, so do I need to explain it? All right, no, good. All right, worry looks at things that are beyond your control that may not even happen. And more often than not, as you worry about that thing, because there's nothing you can actually do about it, it just paralyzes you. So concern is like, I should do something. There's a real thing I need to deal with. Worry is, oh my goodness. Jesus says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? In fact, modern science says it steals time from our lives. Stress is a killer. But do you and I trust God? See, where you worry most may be where you trust God the least. The thing that stresses you out the most may just be the place that you are not giving into God's hands and saying, you know what, whatever you want to happen in this situation, I know you love me, I know you've got a plan for me, this is yours. Jesus continues, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that they are here today and thrown into the fire, that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Is God really first? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. A lot of us know this passage as seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Are you seeking it first? Why do we worry? I've pointed it out a little bit before, right? Have you ever noticed most of what we worry about doesn't actually happen? And when it does, it's generally not so bad. Like taking my kids to get a shot or something like that, right? You're sitting there squeezing them, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're squirming, they're freaking out. And then they get the shot and they're still squirming and screaming and freaking out. And you're like, you know, we're done, right? Oh. Right? Parents, you've been there. You know? And when the worst happens, here's the thing, because sometimes it does, right? But when the worst happens, you're not alone. Because of Christ, we can reframe our perspective on life to understand that this moment, in fact, our very existence, the entirety of our time on earth, is one single dot from a ballpoint pen on an eternal line. Infinity. That's spiritual existence. And this life here, while it has great and significant impact on how we spend that eternity and how others do as well, it is but a pinprick in that infinite scope. And yet, how many of us spend more time thinking about that eternity than we do the moment that is but a fraction of that dot? Imagine how different your life would be if instead of worrying about today or tomorrow or all the things to come, you gave your worries to God and you trusted Him. Imagine how different your life would be if you didn't think to yourself, God's a big me, and if I actually trust Him in this, He's going to take it all away from me, and so I need to hold on to it all forever. And we just said, God, You know what's best. Maybe it results in more blessings. Maybe it results in eternal blessings. But imagine how much freer we could live. Imagine the difference in our interaction with people around the world. All of a sudden, they looked at us and they said, why aren't you worried about the global whatever? Why aren't you worried about who's in office? Why aren't you worried about the impending global doom crash of all financial things in all the world? Why aren't you worried? And you could just say, because I know my God, He's got me. So today, what I want to leave you with is an encouragement to bring your biggest worry to God and focus on faith, not fear. Because see, Jesus has already surmounted the impossible. Humanity had rejected God. We'd thrown Him to the side. He created us, and we went, nope. And it was completely within God's right, just like a potter with a clay jar on the potter's wheel, right? You mess it up, and what do? Start over. But He said, I love you. I care about you. And I'm going to do what seems impossible, what is impossible for each of us. And I'm going to come to earth and live amongst you. I'm going to accrue credit for your debit, for the debt of all humanity. I'm going to die on that cross, though I don't deserve it. And I'm going to overcome the grave. And after that, I mean, man, He could have just like, see? It's not so hard, is it? But instead, He reached out His hand with those holes, those scars. He says, come to me. Come to me. Let me give you life. Life to the fullest. And so perhaps today you're in a place where you're not following Jesus. You're online, you're in person, whatever it may be, and something in you is stirring today. You can't quite identify it, but you're thinking to yourself, I believe this. I want more of this. I want to give my life to this Jesus, to receive what He has for me. And right now, I'm just going to ask that everyone would close their eyes and bow their heads. And we're going to pray a prayer together today. We're all going to pray it out loud, just in solidarity with you. But I want you to know that if you're praying this prayer from your heart, saying, I want to give my life to Jesus today, that you have entered into the family of God, that He adopts you, that you take on the identity of Jesus Christ Himself, that when Jesus looks at you and when God looks at you, He loves and accepts you just the way that you are. And He also loves you too much to leave you there, and He's calling you out of the things that you've been doing that don't honor Him, and He's going to be working in your life. But know that as He does that, as you work through these things, you are never alone. He is with you. Your church family is with you. So let's all pray this prayer. Pray it after me. Heavenly Father, I need You. Thank You for sending Your Son for me to do what I could not. Today I'm giving You my life. Please give me Yours. I'm putting my trust in You. Take my worry. Bring me peace. Lord, transform me with Your love and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I commit to following you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I mess it all up, you don't leave me, but you're right there with me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer today from your heart, you'll see a card in the seat back in front of you that says connect. If you fill out that form and check off the box that says I just gave my life to Jesus, give it to Al, who's back at the back again. He's got a Bible and a devotional and some resources he would love to put in your hands. Online, go to ascc.life and tap on I just gave my life to Jesus. Fill out that form and we'll connect with you in the next couple of days to also get resources to you. Everyone, as we wrap up today, I want to let you know that Pastor Ewan will be available over here by the kids' men office for about 5 or 10 minutes after service here. If anybody would like prayer for anything, he will be available for that. All right. And with that, we'll see you next week, and you're all dismissed.